Ooh, that spilled a little more than I thought. It's okay.
It's okay. It's satin.
I just
It'll
got.
live.
I'll just be a little wet. Nothing different.
Just a smidge.
Nothing new.
So if I sit a little wet, oh, whatever. Okay. Perfect. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Speak Before I Think, the podcast for local music here in Fort Collins. Here today, I have Mallory Graham.
Hello.
Tell us a little about yourself. What music do you do? And then, like, just you in general.
I am a surf artist, I would like to describe myself as. I was a drummer first and picked up guitar a little later, then bass, then ukulele, currently learning piano. And I just finished my first full-length EP, and
exciting.
It'll be coming out very soon. It's in like the very final stages right now. I have an album shoot next week. Mastering is happening right now, so very stoked about it. I like birds, and I work at the Mishawaka up the Poudre Canyon,
ooh,
a lovely little music venue, and I like to dress a little stupid. As well.
We all do.
We all do.
I think we're on the same, like, mm-hmm. We're on the same aesthetic.
I wasn't sure about the fur, I'll be real, but I think it's working. I can't tell.
It's okay. I didn't know if the scarf was working.
The
I
scarf
just...
was working.
Thank
and
you.
Is working.
Thank you. This is all working. I love all the tattoos.
Thank you. Love, I like tattoos also. My legs are, like, full currently. Just, like, very little space there, but Adam Martin, Stinko, Micah Whited, Tony Time, Body File. I don't go to just like one person.
Oh, okay.
Because I like the diversity of art covering like everywhere.
That's so awesome. Okay, so let's go into your journey of music.
Mm-hmm.
What first drew you to become an artist, and how did you get started?
First draw. Well, so I was classically trained. Like went through the whole middle school band, high school concert band thing.
Mm-hmm.
Played in jazz band there. But the first moment where I realized, like, oh, I could be making things as well was when I first got a ukulele. I was a silly Tumblr girly playing my ukulele, and I would be incredibly annoying with it and walk up and down the halls of my school just playing random covers. And the transition of, like, always hitting things and just playing drums or crashing cymbals to the moment where it's like, oh, I have chord progressions and I have the freedom to like really put some form of emotion into it outside of notes. And I played mallet percussion too, but it didn't translate like that freedom of, oh, I could create music and I could write my own stuff. And I think the first big hyperfixation that made me want to be in like the rock world specifically was Travis Barker. I almost always say Barker.
Yeah, yes, Barker.
I almost always say Pastrana from Jackass, but very different people. But his drumming and Blink like blew my mind and made me want to get really good at that craft. And then shortly after like falling into the rock world hole there, I found Arctic Monkeys, my goats, my number ones, Alex Turner.
Oh,
I could die
love.
For you. But they were the inspiration for me to just spend all the money I got working a crappy job on a Dan Electro guitar I still have. And since then, it's just been like writing a little bit on the side, mainly just playing with a lot of other bands. Played with a band called Fernbrook, a little three-piece as I was starting community college. I played with Wicked Vixen, a four-piece like femme-fronted electric violin rock and roll, which was super fun. With me, and I played with Adam Son of Man, three piece, very much so like 70s bluesy, in your face, unapologetically energetic. And Dumpster Head was the first project I didn't drum in. It was with my friend Felix, who was also in Fernbrook. And when that project kind of fizzled out, we wanted to take a new stab at something, and we got Jude. A vocalist from Felix's first band, Cosmic Hot Sauce, and Theo, the drummer from that band as well, and we met this bassist, Kieran, and had this five-piece kind of vibe, and I only joined the group because I told Felix, I was like, I'll join, but I'm not drumming, because I love drumming, but I want to expand the horizons, you know? So that was the first project I played lead guitar in, and that was a very, very fun new thing for me. because rhythm guitar is mainly what I do when I'm songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
It's just chords and progressions, and that still has like a rhythmic element to it because I'm just setting a feel. But lead guitar was the first time where the melody was like all on my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And like the vibe and the just feeling of the melody was like something I was contributing to, which is a very new concept. I feel like it's the polar opposite of drumming, because drumming is just feel and groove, and melody is notes and also feel. But it was really fun, really good times, and that's all sort of culminated into me building a skill set to where now, over the past year, I've really taken a step back and just focused on me and my songs and like my voice that I can share with people.
Nice.
And I like ducks. Irrelevant. Not really.
Oh my god, I cannot wait to ask you more about ducks. But before that, so you mentioned how you're more of a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely kind of had more with the lead guitar. What do you think was like beyond discovering, you know, doing the chorus versus the melody, what were other challenges when it came to like live performance of the guitar?
It was a definite transition. I had to learn how to like not have lead feet, which is where you just stand there and you're playing and not moving at all. Because drumming, you just sit down and you don't have to worry about like being lively or being energetic. But that transition was a little challenging. The amount of times I would fling my glasses off my face and break them was also very challenging. I think this is the sixth pair I've had in 4 years.
Those are really cute.
They're also being held
like
together by an earring because
no
they're
way.
Also broken. But I love them.
Oh my god, I love that.
Yeah, it's mainly the energy, mainly like not staring down at the neck the entire time. But I had been playing guitar for a while before like making that transition, so it wasn't like a completely fresh thing. But it was very different being like at the front of the stage versus being able to hide in the back behind my cymbals and not worry about people perceiving me.
Nice. Wait, real quick. Edit moment. Kayleen, will you keep me on a bit of for time?
Mm-hmm.
At least, like, let me know. Like, you could do, like, a little wave if it's, like, 30 minutes and then, like, once it reaches an hour. I don't know.
Okay.
So I'm just letting me a little bit know about the time. But let's see. Okay. So that was definitely something new for you. I'm a little more curious about the collaborations you've been a part of then.
Because
right now you're trying to do a little more solo work, yeah?
I'm flying solo, baby.
Flying solo, okay.
Yeah, well, not fully. I have a bad tendency to just join bands and people I love. But the solo stuff right now, it has been really, really fun to just get down into the nitty gritty and like the actual craft of music. Because I love performing live. Like, playing for people is one of the most fun things to do on this planet, I think, and just putting your heart out on the stage and letting people like get something from it or enjoy it in their own way. But at the same time, like, I think a lot of bands will forget about the actual craft of being a musician, and that's the writing, the recording process, the like layers when you're in studio. And over the past like 2-3 months, when did we start? In like May. So in May I released my first single, Mop, and that was something that I had Mike Davis, formerly of Chess at Breakfast, pretty prominent three-piece band that was around this area for a long time. He was their drummer, and I had him do a mix and master on that track. And it came out to have this really like psychedelic black keys in your face vibe, and I loved it. And it was just the one song. But he's down in Denver now. And
ooh,
making
okay.
that trek was just unrealistic. There's part of me that wanted to keep working with him, but like his scheduling and just the drive made it seem pretty unfeasible. But that's around the same time I had met Andrew Waltman over at Mordor Studios. He also works up at Mishawaka with me. He does sound tech and is a super, super chill guy. Love him to death. But we made the record One's a Man, Three's a Band with Adam Son of Man at his studio, and like the entire process and work was just, it didn't feel like work, it just felt seamless and chill. And I always describe him as like when an audio engineer is at their little keyboard and doing everything they can to make you sound good. He just seems like he's a witch at a cauldron.
just brewing.
Just brewing up some magic, and God, he is good at it. So after the Adamson of Manny P, I did some Dumpster Head singles there with the five-piece, and then around the time Mop came out, we had our first session for this next record, if you can call it that. And the best part about his studio is that it's a literal barn.
No way.
He took a barn, and it had been fully converted into like a studio from the previous owner, and they were only going to sell it to someone who wanted to keep the studio going. So he bought it and is constantly renovating it, constantly upgrading it, but there's still farm animals.
Yes! I was just about to ask that.
There's chickens.
Oh
there's
my god.
13 chickens, and they're all perfect. And like, when you're 2 hours into one song and like stuck on the same guitar part, just being able to like walk outside and a literal flock of dinosaurs greet you is like the best thing. And I need to point out the one chicken. I think the breed is Swiss hen. She's all black. She's got big fluffy feathers down by her feet. Oh. She's got a freaking fro, and her name is Bootsy Collins, and I would die for her.
I love
her. I would die for her. I will. I'll send you a picture. Please of do. Bootsy so you can put her on screen, because she's perfect.
She's going to be right here.
She's perfect. I love that chicken so much. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Studio. Good. Wonderful time. Really seamless. Like, the process there was we started with drums, then moved on to bass, then guitars, then vocal layers. But just love working with him, and like with the collaborations, I'm really glad like working with Adam and Baz introduced me to Waltman officially, because he's just like my knight in shining armor right now in terms of just the dude who makes the magic. I don't know why I apply such fantasy metaphors to him, but like it just fits.
It makes sense. It fits, yeah. I get it.
He's just so good. So good.
The girls that get it, get it.
And he get it.
I love that. So I'm a little more curious about like the genre of music that you're exploring, especially within your solo career. So what is your current sound, and how did you kind of come to that?
Well, rewind back to me, 19 years old, dead of winter, driving back from my job at Raising Cane's. It's total blizzard. It's 2 in the morning. And I don't remember who told me to listen to the Beach Boys, but someone was just like, you need to listen to the Beach Boys. I need to find out and remember who told me that, because they sent me on a journey down the rabbit hole of just surf rock as a whole. And the first thing I heard from them was their Endless Summer compilation, and it's pretty much all their hits from like the first 6 years or so. The most like early Beach Boys, atypical surf stuff, but it just, I love, you know, the tingles you get
when
music like hits like a truck, and then you feel it all over your body. I had that throughout the entire album, and that was the moment where I was like, I want to make surf rock. I want to put people on a beach with imagery. I want to like transport them away, or give them some escapism to it, which is very strange because I live in Colorado. If you don't know, there's no beaches here.
No beaches here.
It's landlocked as fuck. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And surf is just, I don't know what it is. The timbre, I think, is the word. It's just how a soundscape feels and how it's blended together. It just is mwah. And I love it so much. And that's kind of like the main direction I took in terms of soundscape. Surf guitars, plucky picked surf bass, four-part harmony vocals, and just like the... That beat was the first thing I noticed with the genre. It makes you dance. And I want to dance.
You want a boogie.
I want a boogie on.
Gotta get that boogie on.
Exactly.
So how did you take that? Because you definitely have that surfer rock. How did you take that, but like go beyond that? Like what? You know?
I do know. Yeah. The first like handful of songs I wrote, I kind of... So Arctic Monkeys were my number one. And still are, to be clear.
Same.
To
be clear. My God, same.
But Alex plays with a lot of bar chords in terms of his style, just like bar E, bar A, throughout pretty much the entire first three records. And so that was the main thing I knew. and surf rock is typically in a major key, so I just played major chords, gave it that kind of surf timbre, but like a few songs in, I was like realizing my other influences and what made them super cool. And my favorite funk band of all time is Wolfpack. They are from Michigan, just like me, and they're used to be a four-piece, now they're like an eight-piece, I think. But Joe Dart on the Fender bass was like the one thing that always caught my ear. And I noticed he does this thing where he's in the major scale, he's on the first note, walks up to the second, and before going to the third, mm-hmm. he hits the minor third between the major second and major third. And that one note was like, oh, I need to do something with that. So I took the Joe Dart funk scale, which people have been doing it forever, but he's the person who made me notice it. Mm-hmm. I took that, I looked at Mac DeMarco's kind of timbre of indie rock, and then I fused those two concepts and put it in a surf timbre. And that's how I got the song Mallard, which is a song about being ducks, being a duck, and not feeding them bread. Mm-hmm. And probably one of my favorites I've ever written. And that was like the first time I was like really pushing the kind of style outside of just exclusively surf. But I mean, I have so many influences, it feels kind of hard to just write like a pure surf tune. Because I've been a punk drummer mainly for ever at this point. So the punk drums mixed with the surf feel, mixed with like the indie chords and the funky bass. And it's just, it's hard to like really point out every single influence mm-hmm. and how they all like throw their own hat into my ring, but I like what I like. That's the thing. Like, whenever someone asks me what kind of music do I listen to, I say good music. Because mm-hmm. it's genre is never gonna like remove something from my palate. Like, there's really good country, there's really good reggae, there's really bad country, and there's a lot of terrible pop. But there's goodness in every genre, in every idea. And I think in like nowadays, in 2024, I mean, most artists that are making it are not like locked down to one genre. Mm-hmm. They're like a mishmash of upwards of six. And like, I just saw The Rare Occasions down in Denver, brand new indie rock band, totally popping off, but their new record, like, I hear splashes of Smashing Pumpkins, I hear influence from American football, mm-hmm. I hear like heavy metal breakdowns in the indie rock timbre, which shouldn't work, but it does.
But it does.
But it does. And it's just like, genre doesn't, you shouldn't be limited to one genre. Like, mm-hmm. I did want to make surf rock, but that didn't stop me from taking influence from everything I like.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. So, now I'm a little curious. I know definitely a lot of your songs, you kind of explore the different themes, like you said previously, like the perspective of a duck. Mm-hmm. First of all, why ducks? I love ducks. Love that you do ducks. But why?
So, there's a little story. Mm-hmm. I used to live in this duplex off of Spring Creek, and this is like during the pandemic, mm-hmm. but I worked at Poudre Valley Hospital at the time, and all my roommates also worked at Poudre Valley Hospital, mm-hmm. and we could just walk to and fro there, and a lot of landlords were like, can you pay rent? And we just all said we couldn't, so we had a crap ton of money, the chillest job, and we were right by the creek, and there's massive hill the house is on that goes down, swoops into the creek, mm-hmm. and every summer, I was only there for two summers, but like the first summer I noticed all the ducks, loved them, and how like there would be a family of ducklings that are there. So I made a habit of just sitting on the fence by the creek and playing my baritone ukulele.
Oh, I
and
love
it was
that.
So cute. And I had the riff for Mallard. It's evolved a lot, but just that first like melody that you hear first thing in the song was like where the song came from. And I'm just sitting on this fence. There's no lyrics, there's no concept for this riff yet, because mm-hmm. it was just me messing with that Joe Dart scale. And I'm sitting there, just being me, and it's like late July, so all the ducks are in their teenage years, mm-hmm. and a mama duck comes around the corner through the brushes, and she has 12 ducklings with her, but they're like teenagers now and awkward as hell. And like, most of the time, birds flee, because they're mm-hmm. animals and they want to get away, but for whatever reason, they just vibed, and they were like 2 meters in front of me, and I was just playing the riff, and in that moment, I was like, this is your song. You have taken it, and it is yours. And I've always wanted to be a bird, specifically, because they can fly. They don't have to answer to the IRS, and
God,
they're pretty as hell. And that evolved into me writing a song about wanting to be a duck. But at the same time, I want to protect the local ducks.
Mm-hmm.
And now here's the thing that Hollywood's done, Jax.
What have they done?
They've convinced people that feeding bread is okay to your local ducks. But I need to inform everyone.
Information.
This is a bomb drop. They're literal celiacs. They cannot
process... They're celiacs?
Yeah, they cannot process gluten correctly. And so you are killing the ducks when you listen to Hollywood and feed them bread. It hurts my heart.
No fucking way! They're celiacs?
They're literal celiacs. And it's a problem.
I'm glad I haven't really fed it. Well, have I fed a duck?
If you have, I forgive you. You were ignorant.
I was very ignorant if I did.
It's okay.
So what can I feed them?
You can feed them diced up greens, specifically kale, spring mix. Lettuce, but they won't really fuck with it, to be honest.
That's fair.
Diced up grapes, barley seeds. Dried corn is fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's really sweet, but it's more like a treat to them. So you shouldn't give them a lot of corn. Just not bread.
Okay.
Just not bread.
No bread.
It's not
bread. What about like gluten-free bread?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I haven't done
Sorry, that was a bit of a curveball.
No, but you're not the first to throw me that. And I'm like, and I've sat there like at an open mic, like in the middle of this rant, which I do in the middle of the song, and I'm like, I don't know if you, maybe you can give them a muffin. I'm not certain. More research needs to be done.
You're like on stage. That's it, folks. I gotta go back.
I need to go back to the drawing board. I'm not sure. Get back to me on that.
I fucking love that. Oh my god, you picked my interest. Okay, so you also worked at Poudre Valley Hospital.
Yes.
I used to work at Poudre Valley Hospital. Yeah, I worked in 21, so I don't know if you were there at the time.
You might have
it
just
would have
missed
been 22.
Me. What department? I was in hospitality.
I was in the ER. Yeah. What were you?
I was a tray runner, pretty much just like the entire nutritionist thing. I knew everything down there. I would line cook, I would be a nutritionist assistant, so just go up to patient rooms, get their order, make sure they're staying in their diet. Just a lot of on the food side of stuff.
Nice.
And it was so weird working that like through the pandemic, because
I don't blame like, you.
Dude, I clocked in the basement because that's where the kitchen was.
Mm-hmm.
And right next to my clock in is autopsy, like literally the 2 feet to the door.
Yep.
And the amount of sheets I saw just like freaked me out, and it pissed me off for a long time because so many people were just trying to deny this worldwide problem, and I'm like, I see it every day, and like,
yep.
I at this point I know there's some discussions you can't really like get through to people who aren't willing to listen, but I still try to be like a bridge between different ideologies. Like, I'm trans as I can be.
Really?
With my
no, just kidding. Well, okay.
No. Not even a little. But, like, I work in the mountains, so I see a lot of, like, people who are just up in their own world. And you can just have a conversation with them 99% of the time. Like, unless they're coming out guns a-blazing and, like, trying to cuss you out because you're wearing your tits, like, they're really just people. And I think people need to just be people to one another more. Because this whole world that we're in, especially around right now with the election, like, I think you should be building bridges. You should not be burning them. You should not let a political mindset prevent you from, like, getting to know someone. Like, just because they're conservative doesn't mean they're not a human being.
Oh, yeah.
Just because they're an extreme liberal doesn't mean they're not a human being.
Oh, yeah. I feel you specifically with that. I don't know. I feel like it's the human being aspect, and it's, at the end of the day, as much as other people don't know what others are going through, we don't know what everyone else is going through. And so, obviously, there's a line.
There's exceptions.
There's a line.
There is a line.
You gotta walk the line.
But
at the end of the day, it's just treating people like how you'd treat anyone you'd walk up to. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And I think that line's a lot further than people think it is right now,
which
is, I think, my main point. But, yeah, be good to your people and the ducks and call your mom if she misses you.
Be a good person. Call your grandma, if she's still chilling.
I called my grandma yesterday. Love her.
Aww.
She's barely chilling, but she's good.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad. I'm glad you called your grandma.
This is the section.
This is the section.
We're ad-libbing.
Ad lib on top, but oh yeah, but I didn't tell you. I used to work in the ER section. Mm. I was a registration. I was patient access registration and specialist. I was the PARS.
I feel like they threw specialists on everything.
They did.
Everything. I was a technician, and I'm like, cooking food.
Mm-hmm. No, I think they purposely just put the specialists just so they could give them a raise. I remember hearing the tea about it. I was cool with it. But yeah, no, it was interesting running into the amount of different people, especially when it came to the ER. It was really weird, like, checking in with someone, like, someone would come in being like, oh yeah, no, I hit my head on the stove, or on the oven, like the oven door came and hit her head, mm-hmm. and then, like, next thing you know, I'm back there doing registration, and they're getting resuscitated, and, like, getting the full on, and I'm like, oh, that's a lot, but, sorry to keep it light, but, or not to make it dark, but anyways, it was a nice experience, definitely. Not like the best experience, but working in the hospital, it's a different thing. It's a different realm.
People don't understand how like chaotic the medical industry is until you're like in it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you've ever visited a hospital, you know like a bit of it. Like just walking through a unit's floor and nurses are flying at 100 miles per hour. Shout outs to nurses, they are not paid enough.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to nurses' assistants who are definitely not paid enough.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely not paid enough.
No, I found out that, what was it? It was the, why can't I think of their names? So sorry, everyone that's in the field, if you're listening. But, yeah, the nurses' aides, essentially. I can't remember what
CNAs.
The specific. CNAs. Yes. And then there was, like, another group of people that was also with them. But anyways, I found out they got paid less than me when I was working there.
Ugh.
Like, they were literally doing, like, especially, like, the people, like, specifically doing, like, the, my god, I can't remember, but, like, they'd come from the ambulance, like, they would be a part of that type of stuff, like, getting people in and out, and then going back out, and then checking vitals, and all that kind of stuff.
EMTs?
All the in-between, EMTs, yes, there we go, yes, there we go, yes. thank you.
Yes.
But yeah, no, the EMTs literally got paid, I'm not gonna lie, all I did was sit on my ass. I sat on my ass, and then I'd maybe go up to rooms and be like, hey, yeah, what's your insurance? Here's the surprise billing disclosure. And, like, would sit on my ass, and, like, I'm not gonna lie, sometimes I'd play on my 3DS.
No, you and me both. I played on my Switch a lot.
Mm-hmm.
All I did was walk. Just walk.
Yeah.
Up and down the floors, through the elevators. I think the most steps I got in one day was, like, 60,000. Hmm. I was doing a double, but just on my feet all day. And then I'd walk home like an idiot.
Yeah. Okay, so with that, did you feel like there's any, through your experience with the hospital, do you feel like that kind of bleeded into, like, your music on how you perceive the world and, like, how, you know, kind of doing the perceptions?
Yeah. I mean, like, death especially has always been something, like, not at the forefront of my mind, but it's always something I've been aware, because I was raised Islamic for the first, like, 5 years of my life.
Really?
Yeah. My birth name is Malik Ali Taha Abu Khaltum.
Wow.
Five of them. But, crazy dad, kind of out of the picture right now, but a big thing with their religion is, like, they confront you with death and the concept that you're not going to be around forever, like, very early on in life. And they sugarcoat it with, like, getting into the good place and all that, but...
Mm-hmm.
Once he was out of the picture and I started thinking about the world through my own eyes, like, I'm not going to get into religion. But,
very fair.
But I'm very aware of, like, the time we have and how it should be spent on things you enjoy and things you want to be proud of. And, like, that's one of the main fires under my ass when I'm, like, writing and trying to, like, create as much as I can. But the concepts of death have, like, slithered their way into my songs very lightly, not like fully yet. I have a feeling there will be one of those albums one day, but it's not the worst thing. So this first record is pretty upbeat, honestly. It's like pretty happy. It's called Surfing Ducks. It's literally about, there's two songs about ducks. There's a love song there's a song about how I don't want to leave my house because everyone is hot. that one slaps. And yeah, like, it's a much more upbeat EP, but the next one I have planned, which is, like, pretty much written, and I'll be in studio soon, leans more into the darker side and the heartbreak and the other side of love and just, like, moving on when your brain doesn't want to, but your body has to. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited for that one. I think the vibe of it's going to be a lot darker and get into, like, quite a few heavier subjects. But for now, ducks are cool.
Ducks are cool.
Ducks are cool.
And don't feed them bread.
And don't feed them bread.
Enough of the bread. Okay, so now I'm a little more curious about the Fort Collins scene. So you talk about how you were originally from Michigan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what was that transition from going from Michigan to here? Like, when did that happen?
I was pretty young, so it wasn't, like, as life-changing for, like, a lot of transplants. But originally I was in Denver when I was in Colorado. My entire family on my mom's side moved down to Denver, Colorado when I was very young, like, only two. But part of that transition was just, like, new people, new faces, because I was in Denver for most of my young life, and then moved up to Fort Collins, like, around the time I was coming of age,
mm-hmm.
like, just finishing high school, and the music scene was something I was kind of, like, actively going out to mm-hmm. around that time in my life, but mainly just in Denver, because they have Seventh Circle Music Collective, they've got all of Colfax Avenue, mm-hmm. and, like, even when I was up in Fort Collins, I was still going down there, like, three times a week, just to see the cool local punks. And it wasn't until I found a DIY spot called Heck House, Rest in Power, that was doing, like, the same kind of DIY community shows up here in Fort Collins. And, like, I just like the community, the DIY side of stuff. Like, there's a lot of really good venues in town here, but I think consistently the best experiences I have are, like, those shitty garage shows where everyone is on the same level as the artist. People are partying out of their minds, but it, like, that energy translates into the art, and I've seen, like, some of the most energetically intense things from those garage shows. And I think I'm still kind of chasing the dragon that I had in Denver mm-hmm. of Seventh Circle, but I just like punks. I like punks.
That is so fair.
And kind of going back to Michigan, my mom was raised in inner city Detroit for, like, her entire life. So that crazy bitch of a woman raising me made me, like, what I really am. And, like, she's a massive fan of Nine Inch Nails, Jack White, Soundgarden, like, Alice Cooper, that whole 90s grunge wave.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, her music taste really made mine as, well, what it is. And I love my mom.
No.
Shout out to Momsy. She's probably watching. It's okay. You call me a bitch, too.
Mwah. Does she? Are we gonna get a collab with her at any point?
Mate, probably. I'll throw her on an album. I'm sure.
Please, that'd be so cute.
I don't know
what
she's gonna do. Might just be a voicemail or something. But I just want to throw her in a booth and tell her to ramble about something dumb. Because her voice is gorgeous, and she was a poet. Is a poet. Like mm-hmm. she got stacks of loose leaf paper like this tall of just poetry, and it's not out anywhere. It's not published, and like. I love that, because it's just art for art's sake.
I was about to say, you know that shit's extra good.
It's juicy as hell. I've dug through it, and goddamn. Word witch.
Oh, I love that, word witch.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm very curious. It seems like you have also done, definitely are more within Denver. I'm kind of curious about a little more of what it's like in Fort Collins, because you've worked with Foco MX, haven't you?
I've played with them, yeah. for the past 3 years, like, and, yeah, Foco MX has always been, like, the staple mm-hmm. of the Fort Collins music scene, like, every year, that is the weekend, if you, like, enjoy local music, you're participating in local music, you help organize local music, like, that is the place to be, and there's just so many venues. Like, I don't know how they find enough sound engineers to run all those venues, because there's, like, 50 of them every year. And first year, I did it. We got to play on the rooftop of Illegal Pete's. This is when I was with Fernbrook.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a fun show. I got on top of my amp once and almost fell off the rooftop, but I lived.
Wait, you almost fell off?
I wiggled a little bit.
That's
if
scary.
I had fallen in the wrong way, it would have been close to very dangerous. But, I never mentioned, yeah, Fernbrook was like a musical chairs band. So
musical chairs?
So I would drum on one song, and then Felix would drum on the next song, and I'd have guitar on the next song, and then Hunter would drum on one song, and then I'd go to bass, and like it was just a mishmash. I think that's why it didn't work out in the end, though, because there were just three very different songwriting styles trying to mishmash together,
mm-hmm.
and it felt like we even admitted to it ourselves that like all of our sets felt like three different very short sets.
Mm-hmm.
So. But I still work with Felix. Love him to death.
Oh,
my number one in the music world.
The number one. Okay, so I am very curious. Are you familiar with, like, the R-Bar?
Oh, yeah.
Love the
R-Bar. I need to go to karaoke more. Love it there.
I will so go to karaoke with
please,
you.
Please.
Like, Wednesdays.
Please.
Like, flat out, so down.
This is
we'll do. Oh, easily.
Right,
yeah,
there,
that's
bitch.
A real one.
With that, mm-hmm. bitch.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
Either Cake's Sheep Go to Heaven,
mm-hmm.
or Sinatra's My Way.
Mm. Oh, I want to hear that one.
Mm-hmm. Dad is a Frank Sinatra impersonator out in California. Not in the sense that he looks like him, but he sings exactly like him.
That's so nice.
Yes.
That's so nice.
So I got them Frank baritone ranges.
The baritone.
The Danny.
Ayo, Tony!
I'm sorry, I turn into a lot of accents when I get comfortable with people. I don't know. It just happens.
You're telling me. I usually get into a dumb country accent at some point.
I got the New Yorker, and then I can get a bit British
if
we start talking about the Monkees for too long.
But I do love the Monkees.
I love the Monkees. The Arctic Monkees, not the Monkees, but I also love the Monkees.
The chilly Monkees.
The frigid apes.
The frigid. What was it? I have on my Spotify. I have like the Arctic Monkey songs, but for summers. But I call it Tropical Apes.
It sounds like a Sour Patch flavor.
It does.
Tropical Apes.
What do you? I imagine like banana, maybe green apple.
Throw some watermelon in there.
Watermelon.
A little fruity.
Delicious. Okay, anyways, so I was asking about the R-Bar. We're totally going to karaoke at some point. Definitely gonna get like a little video of that. That'd be so cute. So I talked to the owner there. Sorry, I can't remember your name if you're listening to this. On the spot, I don't. I know your name if I were to see it. But what was I saying? She was mentioning on how a lot of Fort Collins, like, especially for her, because she's in an older queer generation, she likes to call it Fort Closet. Do you feel like that has been, do you feel like you relate to that, or, yeah?
Like, there are, like, many times, like, there's a handful of, like, LGBT artists in the scene, but it's more so the surface level ones of, like, the bisexual women, and, like, the bisexual men, and, like, there's not a lot of trans artists here, mm-hmm. and, like, when I see trans artists pop up, for whatever reason, they just, like, are gone within a year, and I don't know what it is. Like, Fort Closet, Vanilla Valley.
Vanilla Valley, I like that one.
Well, this town is just, like, woke on the surface, but I don't think they ever challenge their views, because mm-hmm. the vast majority of the population here is cis white men, and that's what I miss about Denver. Like, it was a place where diversity was actually celebrated because it's actually present.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're gay, come out. We'll get some tea.
Come out of the closet. Yeah, I dare you. Double dog dare
come
you.
Come out of the closet and start your weird trans noise DJ arc.
Yeah, join us.
Yeah.
Join us. You could be sitting here with us right here, right now.
You could have fur on.
You could have fur. You could have a scarf. You could be having Dutch Bros right now. Not sponsored, though.
Silly little gay with a silly little $6 coffee. I mean, mm-hmm. it's hand in hand.
I
see your point. I think it's really true. Like, I don't know why. Like, because I mean, there's not a lot of gay bars up here. It's pretty much just our bar.
Oh, yeah.
I always say Surfside is the actual gay bar.
Surfside? I haven't been there.
It's not a gay bar, but it's the bar where gays go. Mm-hmm. Like, flat out. But, lovely place. The thing is, their karaoke's the same night, so it's like...
So what I'm hearing is we get, like, a little adventure next karaoke night.
We go both,
night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's very nice. Do you feel like you personally experience any challenges here in Fort Collins or just, like, in the music industry with that?
I've had some challenges. Like, nothing direct, but I don't know. Like, it's not even just the LGBTQ side. Like, the femme-fronted artists don't mm-hmm. really get the main stage a lot of the time. I did go to Rose Bay last night. That slapped. They're phenomenal. But I don't know. It's just, like, I'm tired of white men in bands. I will say a lot of my favorite bands are just white men, but
yeah.
But the thing is, like, we need to give a spotlight more to the femme punks and more to just, and not even just femme punk, like, just women in music mm-hmm. and gays in music, and just not always the dudes. And so if you are a dude and you're making music and you want to join a band, maybe consider, like, looking for the girl who needs a backup band, or looking for the trans artist who needs a drummer, like...
Mm-hmm.
I think you have power as someone of, like, the highest privilege that you should be, like, using that privilege with your music. Like, I've presented as white and straight for a long time,
mm-hmm.
but, like, even when I was doing that, I wanted to make a point to, like, play for female artists or, like, play for, like, anything that's not privileged. And, like, it's kind of a rule for me now. Like, the bands I've been in all throughout the past year have either had, like, indigenous front people,
mm-hmm.
they've had people of color at the front, or they've had, like, just female-fronted things. And, like, I don't really want to lift a white man's voice anymore with my drumming. Because I can drum, and I don't think I want to contribute to that privilege anymore. But that's just me.
That's fair. Have you heard about, what is it, Linkin Park's new lead? Lead?
No.
It's Dead Sarah. Are you familiar with Dead Sarah?
Don't know Dead Sarah.
She's definitely within the rock. She did, this is a little random, but have you ever listened to Demi Lovato's, like, new rock album?
Ages ago.
So cute. I think it's called Eat Me. I think that's the one, or... No, I think that's, like, Serpentine. But anyways, one of the songs has Dead Sarah in it. She's really good. Love her voice. And I love that, like, especially with Linkin Park, they are one of the people that kind of started their genre, you know?
Yeah, they have, like, a big mainstay in the rock world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even, what, 20, 30 years later at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what people need to be doing.
Exactly. And I love that they... they were able to fill in that void with Dead Sarah, someone that is a female artist. She's fucking awesome. Like, I definitely recommend listening to her.
Okay, I'll check it out.
I think, especially you, I feel like you, after talking to you, I feel like you'd love her. Definitely, definitely.
Can
we
interrupt real quick? We're
hitting
an hour.
Already?
Shit.
Oh, period.
It is 1 o'clock.
All right, we're going to speed run.
A speed run. Let's see. I mean... editing, so as much as the speed as we want to be. Let me look at my questions. Oh yes, okay. So as an artist, obviously you're still working at the Mishawaka, which I do want to get a little more about that, but I'm kind of curious about what it's like doing that work-life balance with music.
Oh, it's difficult. Hell, but I think the biggest mindset that helps me is no 0 days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you work a 9-hour shift, you should still do something for your career.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a day off, you should do a little more for your career, because you can. And, like, I'm in school, too, so the balance of work, school, and bands and album is just a lot, but I'm alive somehow. And, like, rest days are important, but that doesn't prevent you from having no 0 days. Like, you can practice your guitar technique for, like, 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and... then it's not a 0 day. You just should do something for what you really want to be doing every single day. Because, like, every day is an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta just use that. And, like, that's what's helped me the most, personally. Because, like, I've struggled with self-image things a lot. And just, like, trying to get through it. But if I do something every day for the version of myself I really want to be,
mm-hmm.
and it just makes that balance a lot easier.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's definitely, I love that how you bring up no zero days.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely need to get in that habit because I'd be zeroing a lot.
There's plenty of easy things to do, Queen.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree. That's why I'm glad I'm able to do, like, this, because, like, getting to talk to artists, getting, like, prepared, getting this all set up, it is definitely something that has gotten me out of zero. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, even, like, last night, I was all like, I don't want to go to anything or do anything at all, but you know what? I need to set up for tomorrow
because
I'm talking to Mallory. So, yeah, no, I love that. No zero.
And deadlines. Give yourself deadlines because no one else is going to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tell yourself this album will be tracked by May 1st. And if it's not, the heck. Because you can. You can. Like, set attainable mid to long term goals. Like, and a lot of short term goals. Like, just understand what you want, understand how to get to it, and then just set goals and timelines,
mm-hmm.
and hold yourself to those timelines, and a lot will get done, like, a lot faster than you think it's possible.
Love that.
I didn't think I'd finish an album in 4 months, but
That's impressive.
It was all written before, of course,
mm-hmm.
but the recording process was like that once I'd forced myself to meet my own deadlines.
That's good. Yeah, recording for me is just a pain.
Yeah, I get that.
Oh, so I'm a little more curious. What advice do you have for other Fort Collins artists here?
Stop playing in Fort Collins. In the nicest way.
Oh,
there,
yeah.
There are a lot of bands who love the music scene here, and it's a really wonderful scene, but it can be a bubble
mm-hmm.
quite often. And, like, if you really want to level up, you need to play regionally. You need to look at Denver. You need to look at Colorado Springs. You need to look at the mountain towns. Heck, even Laramie has, like, a pretty cool music scene nowadays. And because if you are playing in the same city, like, twice a month, put yourself in, like, your fans' perspective. Like, if they see you announce a show, they're just going to think, oh, they're just going to play next month and this one doesn't work out for me, so I'm not going to go to that. If you want, like, consistent crowds that love you and are invested in being there, make, like, an event out of your show, be it, like, a single release or a new merch item, and don't play in the same city, honestly, I would say more than twice every, or once every 2 months. Because there's cool scenes elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Fort Collins is a really good place to get your footing, but I think, like, getting outside of this bubble is what can really help you, like, level up and meet new people and, like, just enjoy it more. Because also just the road trip down to Denver with the band is some of the most fun you will ever have every time.
Oh, that's so sweet. And then last but not least, fill us up. What are your upcoming projects? What can the people look forward to? They want more of you. I can already tell.
It's very soon. Surfing Ducks is probably, by the time this comes out, complete. There will be 3 singles leading up to it. You can find out all about it on my Instagram, Mallorys.gram. Like Instagram. I'm very proud of that.
That is cute.
I'm very proud of that.
You ate with that.
I thank you. Thank you. I'm planning a album release party up at the Mishawaka. It should come out in March. So, like, best way to keep in touch is just follow me on the Instagram. In the link tree, there's a little spot where you can sign up for my email newsletter. That is the best way to just hear updates from me. I only send them out once a month. It's really light. You don't gotta, like, worry about me spamming you, I promise, but it's just little updates. And if you haven't checked it out already, Mop, the single, there's a music video on my YouTube, and it's out everywhere there's music. Find it in the link tree. And I'm sure I'll be announcing shows very soon.
So excited,
You can always catch me at the Fox Den on Thursday nights. They have the best open mic in town.
Really?
Yes, 6 to 9 p.m. Such a good crew. I love everyone there. Sage, our organizer, is a total angel. And it's just like, back-to-back-to-back talent, and I don't know where I fit in there, but it's just such good people.
Where is the Fox Den?
It's right off LaPorte, between Taft and Shields, like by the graveyard.
Oh, shit.
And it's a no-waste cafe, so no paper cups, no lids, no straws. Sorry, Dutch, but they got you beat there.
They do.
It's cute as hell. So if you want a coffee to go, bring a thermos also.
Oh, that's smart. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I'm gonna have to go there. I did not know about the Fox Den previously.
Magic.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on to the show today.
Of course, thank you.
I'm sure everyone's gonna fucking love you, because how the fuck not? But, yeah, that's it for today. Thank you guys for listening to Speak Before I Think. And have a good rest of your day.
Do you want
to
do your bit, dude?
My bit? Oh, yes! Backtrack.
Rewind.
I'm glad you are keeping track of my own.
I want to be tested, okay?
We are testing you. Although I think you're going to, like, probably pass with flying colors. We'll Anyways, see.
I only know.
Don't go away,
song.
Folks. We have a bit more in store.
Stay buckled. Stay strapped.
Do you mind if I borrow your phone?
Thank you.
Okay. So, name of the game, clip bit. We'll see how long that name actually lasts.
Bit clip.
Big clip!
Animated intro.
Yeah. Okay, so give me a second. You're probably gonna get. Okay.
Okay.
So, like I said, you have 5 seconds that you'll be able to listen to the song. And then from there, I'll have you listening to the artist. Or wait. I'll have you list the artist, and then if you can, list the EP or album that it's from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is going to be your first one. Let me make sure the volume's all the way up.
I know it.
Okay.
It's Arctic Monkeys. It's on the Baby I'm Yours EP. Or that's not... Well, Baby I'm Yours is on the EP.
Oh, what is the... freaking name of the song. I love this track.
I love this song.
It was the first song that their bassist Andy was traded out for Nicholas O'Malley. And it's the first track Nick did with them. Leave Before the Lights Come.
Yes!
That's what it is.
Yep, and it's the name of the EP.
Yeah.
So you got that.
Well, I promise Baby I'm Yours is on there. Lovely cover.
Okay. The second one. Actually, no. I'll switch it up so it's not all. Give me a second.
A little alternate.
Okay.
The Strokes, Is This It, Soma.
Mm-hmm. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Okay.
Love that album.
Right?
I saw both Arctic Monkeys and The Strokes last year at Red Rocks, and it was, my teenage heart was, like, bursting out of my chest.
Oh my god, we were both there. Wait.
My voice was gone.
Yeah.
Both days after.
I was so cold, I did not dress.
You weren't dancing enough, hon.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You called me out. Okay, round 3.
Okay, Mac DeMarco, This Old Dog, Baby, You're Out.
That is like,
I don't really listen to This Old Dog too much, but that's the one song off that record that just makes me vibe. Because that acoustic guitar, the way he, it just. He's a groovy little guy.
So groovy or whatever.
Still groovy little guy.
Okay, round 4.
Arctic Monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
It's Off the Car. Is that Body Paint?
It is!
That live, they closed their set.
You're
with
telling
it.
Me.
Oh!
That's actually my go-to karaoke
song. He doesn't use a pick anymore, and he just stands there like he's the most important bitch in the world. And
well, it's because he is.
It's I love that track.
That is like my go-to, because one of the things I'm very proud of to say is I have control of my falsetto, which I don't think most people completely have.
I don't have anything else
to my name.
I had it, and then I started smoking cigarettes, and I lost it. So don't smoke,
Don't smoke, kids.
You'll lose your Beach Boy vocal.
Round five, I think.
Oh. It strokes.
Mm-hmm.
It's off of the latest one.
Mm-hmm.
With the, Ode to the Mets.
Okay.
What's the album? What did they call that album? Ah. Oh. It's not The Adults Are Talking. And it doesn't have, like, a title track. It's got its own name.
Yeah, it has its own name.
I was gonna say An Awesome Wave, but that's by Alt J.
No, you're so close.
Give it to me.
Okay.
Make me feel dumb.
It's okay if you're a fake fan or whatever, but it's The New Abnormal.
Ah! I knew that.
Okay. And then. Just got a couple more. I lost track, so I won't be saying what round it is.
That album's aight. New Abnormal's aight. Selfless is great.
Yeah. I think the new one's cute. She's definitely in the cute. Mm-hmm.
The new Voids, though. Ooh. Do you know The Voids?
The Voids?
The Voids.
No.
Julian Casablancas' side project.
What?
Whole other band. Okay, I'm going to change your life.
Later. Okay, okay. Well, are you going to change...
Well, I'll send you the album.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah. We're not just going to sit here and
just
listen
randomly.
To...
Just randomly... That's,
you're listening.
That's for premium fans. Okay. Listen.
Yep.
Okay.
That's Mac. That's off Here Comes the Cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
That's Nobody.
Perfect.
Mm.
Okay. And the last one.
That album's weird. I love it. He gets very weird.
I love when people get weird.
Mm-hmm.
I like weird people. Last but not least...
I just thought I always feel sick. You curveball thrower?
I am a curveball thrower.
That is the last Shadow Puppets.
It is. It is not the Arctic
Sweet
Monkeys.
Sweet Dreams, Tennessee. And what is the album? Hold on. Everything You've Come to Expect, and then...
You're right with that one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was the first one. What's the first record they have called?
Fuck, let me see.
It is Everything You've Come... Oh, hell
yeah.
Yeah,
I think
so.
Oh,
hell yeah.
But yeah, you passed with flying colors. Easily...
I like music.
You are not a fake fan. So you passed the test.
You called me one. I would die. If I could be in between Alex Turner and Miles Kane and then my life would end, that would be fine. With me, personally.
I have so many edited photos of me editing, like... of me kissing Alex Turner. Every Valentine's Day when I was single, it would just be... it would just be another Photoshop photo.
Okay, those are on screen right now.
Those are... those are right here.
Oh my god.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
This is a blast.
Yeah. Man.